Tisha B'Av is a particularly challenging time, not only in terms of the obvious physical demands that are made obvious by the various mourning minhagim customs that we have, in which we obviously fast, in which we refrain from physical pleasures or from indulging even in day-to-day physical matters, but there are also spiritual demands, which may even be more significant than the physical ones, and reveal themselves in a very significant way. And it begins really with a mindset, in terms of asking ourselves the very fundamental question, how are we expected to mourn, nay, to feel a deep sense of loss in such a foreign entity to us, such as the Beit HaMikdash? I'm very aware that every day we say, Retzei Hashem Elokeinu b'Amcha Yisrael b'tfilatam v'ashevet ha'avodah l'dvir beitecha v'yishei Yisrael u'tfilatam b'ahava tekabel b'ratzon u'tihi l'ratzon tamid avodat Yisrael amecha, that during this part of the Shmoneh Esrei we are meant to reflect and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu sincerely that He should restore the avodat Beit HaMikdash, the avodat HaTamid, to the confines of the Holy Temple, and that we should witness it b'mheira b'yameinu. But in the meantime, and in the interim, the thousands of years that have passed in which we have not been able to experience the reconstruction and the rejuvenation of the Mikdash, it becomes a foreign entity to us, and it's certainly difficult and challenging for us to appreciate it, and as such, it is very challenging for us to be expected to mourn for this entity that is so foreign to us. So how exactly do we fulfill immersing ourselves in a mental mindset of morose sadness and mourning on this concept, on this loss of the Batei HaMikdash? The Medrash Eicha Rabbah says as follows: Shlosha nitnavu bilshon echa. There are three great pillars of the Jewish leadership who used the lashon of echa. Moshe Omar echa esalavadi. Moshe Rabbeinu was presumably the first, even though Rav Soloveitchik reveals that there was Adam HaRishon. But according to the Medrash, Moshe said, Eicha esa levadi. How can I possibly bear the burden of this troubling, chaotic, and kvetchy people? Yeshayahu amar, Eicha eta lezona. How could it be that my people of Am Yisrael, on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshayahu asks, how can it be that they prostituted themselves in front of foreign entities? And finally, the famous Yirmiyahu Hanavi, the Pasuk Eicha Yashva Badad Ha'ir Abati Am. How could we sit all alone? The city is disbanded. The city is abandoned of Yerushalayim after all of the catastrophic consequences of the destruction. And obviously, when we reflect upon Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe reveals his frustration and his sense of mourning on a personal level. But the others, Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu, reveal their frustration in a national parameter. And beginning to understand how we're meant to reflect on the Churban Beit HaMikdash begins with an explanation that while there's no question that we are expected to feel a personal loss, as Moshe expresses, with regards to the Churban HaBayit, there is also no question that, in truth, our appreciation of the destruction of the Batei HaMikdash of Tisha B'Av begins and almost ends with the ramifications of the national parameters, as Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu express in their nevuot, in their prophecies, respectively. Rav Soloveitchik explains that there are two means and methods for a person to express their sense of avelut. The first is an emotive response of bichia, of crying. When a person cries, he emotes a spontaneous reaction whose roots are found within one's heart, within that emotion, within that sense of loss, to the extent that that person cannot control himself because he feels a personal loss and a very, very deep and profound level of pain. The second method of expressing avelut is a hesped. A hesped is to eulogize. But when one eulogizes, it means that, or certainly demonstrates, that there was a formula. To eulogize means to formulate, to calculate, to use a cerebral analysis to prepare the proper words to say on the mate. Naturally, we would expect, as life's cycles throw at us, that the bichia, the reaction of crying, is prior to the reaction of a hesped, of eulogizing. Person first experiences loss, he cries, he emotes, he externalizes and demonstrates this tremendous sense of sadness. And it's almost uncontrollable because of what he's experiencing. On the other hand, the hesped, the eulogy, notes something that is prepared. And we would think that that comes as a second level, the second stage. After one's gone through the emotional reaction, then he has time to sit down, to reflect, what does this mean to me? How exactly will I deal with this particular challenge? However, Rav Soloveitchik is very quick to point out that when it comes to Avram Avinu, our first forefather, when he's confronted with the death of his beloved Sarah Imenu, the Torah reveals that it was pumfakert, just the opposite. Vayavo Avraham lispod et Sarah velivkota. Avram arrives to eulogize Sarah and then to cry over her. And the question is obvious, why is it that the Torah demonstrates to us that Avram went through the opposite means of expression? We would have expected first Avram to cry over Sarah and then to say hesped, but the Torah says otherwise. And the answer begins in understanding and appreciating the relationship between Sarah and Avraham that they had, which is also revealed in two ways. On the one hand, Sarah was undoubtedly a wife, a companion, a beloved. And for this type of relationship, Avraham cried. There's no question that he missed this partner, he missed this wife, he missed this part of his relationship on a personal level. But on the second level, on the second type of relationship that they shared, Avram and Sarah were partners. Sarah was a partner to Avram. Sarah was a mentor to Avram, to the extent that Sarah revealed and assisted Avram in prioritizing and facilitating a full mission. The mission of monotheism, the mission of revelation, the mission of perpetuation. Both Avram and Sarah were given a hay, or inserted a hay into their names by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because both of them were part of the mission of enlightening foreign entities to the mission of Hashem. In fact, we can even see that Sarah may very well have been the dominant force behind Avraham's success and efforts. There are a number of times when the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Avraham to follow Sarah. Kol asher tomar Sarah ishtecha shema bekola. Whatever Sarah says to you, be wise. Listen to her. Heed her advice. And therefore, the question, when we reflect upon the two relationships that Avram and Sarah had, on a personal and on a national level, which relationship comes first? Which is the priority of Avram in terms of his connection to Sarah as it reflects to others? And the answer is, says Rav Soloveitchik, that Avram offers hesped first. First, Avram goes through calculating a plan. A hesped represents a loss in national consequences. Avram first says to himself that I lost not only a wife, but more importantly, at this juncture, I lost a partner. I have to give hesped. I have to understand and calculate where will my mission go from here. How will I be able to further a national agenda with the loss of my mentor? This is Avraham Avinu's primary concern, because this is precisely what Sarah Imenu's primary concern would have been as well. Avraham Avinu asks, how can I further promote the national parameters of an Am Yisrael and of a Klal Yisrael and all of its effects? And in fact, we see this type of leadership demonstrative as well within Parshat Chukat, in the mistake, the sin that Moshe Rabbeinu makes, by which he is instructed that he can no longer go into Eretz Yisrael. Vayomer Hashem, Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud Bet, El Moshe V'Al Aaron, La Ya'an Lo He'emantim Bi, La'Akdisheni Le'inei B'nei Yisrael. Since you have not sanctified my name in front of all of Am Yisrael, Lachein Lo Taviyu Et HaKahal Hazeh El Ha'aretz Asher Natati Lahem. You will not be able or privy to escorting Am Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe makes no reaction, and only in Pasuk Yudalid do we see the next course of action that Moshe does. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikadesh El Melech Edom. Moshe sends messengers, servants forward to assess the situation with his next enemy of Am Yisrael, the territories of Edom, who are the sworn enemies of Am Yisrael. And the question is, here's Moshe, all by his lonesome, directing Am Yisrael, investing in Am Yisrael, sacrificing for Am Yisrael, and now he makes a gross miscalculation, and he's told that he cannot go into his beloved Eretz Yisrael, which he is so anticipating to see and to lead and to be a part of. And yet he makes no personal appeal when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, you're not going in. What's going on here? The answer is, my friends, that there is a reaction. Vayishlach Moshe Malachim lefanav arze melech Edom. He does react. He reacts by sending messengers forward into Edom. That is a statement by Moshe. Moshe says, of course I'm disturbed. Of course I would like to livkot, to cry. But right now I am confronted with, more importantly, a hesped, a eulogy. I have to prepare Am Yisrael for their next challenge. That is confronting their enemy Edom. Otherwise there'll be no Jewish people left to talk about. While Moshe no doubt has personal emotions, personal concerns, he puts them aside for the sake of the national course. And that is exactly the reaction of Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, Moshe may very well have learned that type of concern, that type of prioritizing from Avraham Avinu and from Sarah Imenu. Our primary concern on Tisha B'Av has to be a historical reflection. And the question that we have to ask ourselves, as learned from our leaders, our predecessors, Moshe and Avram, is how can we impact the future of Bnei Yisrael to unite and to further and to promote and to perpetuate? Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal offers a tremendous insight in establishing this particular theory. He says, there's no greater loss, chalila v'chas shelo neida lo aleinu, than a parent who loses a child. That is an event that the parent remembers and will remember every day, that he relives, because it is the greatest loss that a person can ever experience. Lo aleinu, we should never know from such things. And yet, when a person loses a parent, that's something that's painful, that's difficult, but a person learns to move on. He eventually picks up the pieces and continues on with his life. And interestingly enough, when it comes to Avelut, the mourning that a person has over a child is 30 days, whereas the mourning that a person has over a parent is Yud Bet Chodesh, a full year, 12 months. And we would think that it should be just the opposite. The impact of the loss of a child should generate and should certainly require a 12-month period of mourning. And a parent, we would think 30 days would be sufficient, but it is not. Rav Soloveitchik explains that on a personal level, there's no question, the impact and the loss of a child is greater. Yet when we mourn, we not only mourn on a personal level, but there are other considerations. When a parent is lost, there is also the loss of a mesorah, of a mentor, of a leader, of someone who established tradition, of someone who invested education into that person, of someone who infused values and ethics and codes of behavior into his children. So we mourn a personal loss, but even more importantly, we mourn the fact that we lost the effects of an obvious investment. This is the question that we have to reflect upon on Tisha B'Av. I went to Yad Vashem once with my children, and my daughter Nechama could not go in. At the time, she was too young. So I sat outside with her, and I made a shift. My wife went with some of the kids, and then we switched. So my time, I was sitting with Nechama. We went to get something to drink. And just an innocent reflection, which apparently wasn't so innocent, she turned to me and she said, "Abba, why is it that the whole world, everyone wants to kill us?" I said, "Nechamala, if I knew the answer to that question, I'd have the key to Jewish success." But I could tell you this, reflecting upon that question is absolutely imperative for the sake of us to perpetuate and to continue to survive, for our resilience. This is exactly and precisely the question that one must reflect upon on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is not momentary, but it is momentous. The Ramban explains, "Vayivku ha'am ba'layla ha'hu," on the night when Chazal say the Meraglim returned, "v'hilshinu," and spoke wrongly about Eretz Yisrael, negatively, causing the entire nation to cry on that night, "Nitnarosh v'nashuva Mitzrayim, why did you bring us here? We'll return to Egypt." The Torah says, "Vayivku ha'am," the nation cried, "Balayla hahu," on that night. But what it should have said, "Balayla hazeh," on this night. It was on this night that it happened. The Ramban says, "Balayla hahu," it's not only crying on this night, but it was crying on that night, on the future, on all future events that Am Yisrael would experience, there would be crying. The crying that we experience on Tisha B'Av is not only reflective, but it is also meant to initiate a response for our future. And this is precisely why the keynote that we speak, that we say, that we recite on Tisha B'Av morning are chronological. It's a journey that we experience on Tisha B'Av. There are keynote that talk about not only the Chorban Beit HaMikdash, but about the Crusaders, about the pogroms, about the Holocaust, and even about, unfortunately, the modern victims of terror in Eretz Yisrael today. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is reflective and it is inflective. It also demands a response not only in terms of the past, but in terms of our entire journey. We are linked with this one question. It is a hesped, a eulogy of national parameters. This is why we cry on Tisha B'Av. A hesped which begs us to ponder and which asks us, how will we continue to facilitate the future of our mission as Am Yisrael? Mirtz Hashem, through searching for new reasons and asking ourselves for results upon reflection, in our interest for introspection, we should be zoche to continue to imbue ourselves with a sense of mission, including all parameters of servitude of Hashem on a personal level, on a national level, and be zoche to recite with pride that we witness Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem.